Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Downton Abbey Season 4, Episodes 1 and 2.
Yes, and it's been quite a while for us.
Since we've seen Season 4. Yeah,
yes.
It's been like a while in like us just
recording. No.
Recording.
No, but it's been a long time since we did Season 4 because...
Because, we prefer the first three seasons,
yeah,
in general.
Right, in general. And I think that that's fair. So,
not that the later seasons aren't good. It's just we prefer Matthew.
We like Matthew, let's face it. But, you know, again, rewatching these, we might find some nuggets of things that are kind of cool.
And I think know we they're did, out there.
And there were some in this first couple of
seasons. Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of fun. So, yes. Yeah, so we have our usual caveats, disclaimers, and other notes, which include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers because, again, you know, these storylines kind of flow into each other, and that we are drinking things. Natalie, what are you drinking?
I'm having a mocktail that you made for a party that you had earlier yesterday.
Yes.
And it has watermelon, mint, and ginger beer.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of lime juice too.
I thought this batch didn't have any lime juice.
No, it has lime juice.
Okay.
And honey. It has a tiny bit of honey.
Okay.
But yeah, so I am having, and it is appropriate to this two episode arc, something called the Cheerful Charlies. And honestly, this is the kind of drink that I'm looking at going, why do people make this? It's got either rye whiskey or Canadian high rye whiskey. Cognac, dry vermouth, orange liqueur, and Campari. And of course, I have mentioned before, Campari is not my favorite. So yeah, it's cough syrupy to me, but whatever. I'm sure somebody would drink this on purpose. It is not terribly cheerful in my mind, but this is a bittersweet arc for Charlie Carson. And so maybe that's what they are getting at with it.
Sure.
Anyway, so let's get into it. What are our sections for season 4, episode 1?
There are a lot. Mary, Edith, O'Brien, Nanny West, Edna, Carson, Robert, Daisy, and Mosley.
Let's start with Nanny West.
No, let's start with O'Brien.
Oh, yeah, that's super true.
O'Brien's gone. She left in the middle of the night to go to Bombay to work for Lady Flincher because she likes how she does hair. And she didn't give anybody any notice.
No, she just left notes on her mantle, like, bye-bye.
And so Cora is left without a maid and has to look for one, which will lead into the Edna stuff. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Edna. Edna has applied for the position.
Who have forgotten who... and Edna might be. Mm-hmm. Edna was the woman, the housemaid in the cursed position who was hitting
in the last episode.
Right. And who was hitting on Tom Branson.
And kissed
who got fired. But they gave her a nice reference to make her go away because Tom felt guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And then she is now back because she is applying to be Cora's lady's maid.
Because she's trained to be a lady's maid.
Which is bullshit.
Anyway, that's Edna. She's coming back. There's more about her in the next episode. So that's already Edna and O'Brien. Let's go ahead and talk about Mosley. So yeah. Mosley's out of a job, and there's a lot of uncertainty about his future, and they can't keep him at Downton for any longer. It's been 6 months. Since he's been living there.
I mean, so they're like, we
can't do that anymore. And so he's going to stay with his dad and he's trying to find work, but he just can't. And so Violet is informed of this and she's like, okay, well, I'm going to try to keep an eye out for Mosley's, for any positions that Mosley can fit. And she has a friend who's looking for a new butler. And so she arranges a luncheon where her butler, Sprat, is going to be there. Who we've never met Sprat, but he's going to be a staple for the remaining seasons.
And for those of you who watch Ted Lasso, Sprat is the same actor who played Higgins on Ted Lasso, and he is a fantastic, fantastic character actor.
Yeah.
And his performance, even in this episode, is just great.
I don't know if I realized that. They look a little bit different, but
this is an actor.
Okay. Anyway, so he is annoyed that, I don't know why I questioned it for a second. I think I recognized him in the first episode of Ted Lasso. But either way, I think that, so Spratt thinks that Mosley, like, Violet wants to show off Mosley. So she's invited him to serve with Spratt at the luncheon. And she also invites Edith to talk up Mosley to make him look good in front of this lady so that she will hire him. But Spratt thinks that he's trying to make himself look good to take his position.
Yeah, take Spratt's job.
And so he humiliates him by yelling at him to make him, like, unsteady. And then he warms up one of the serving trays
or something. Yeah.
And so that whenever, like, Mosley, like, touches it, he, like, freaks out.
He burns his hand.
Yes. And so the lady doesn't think that Mosley's very qualified, and so she doesn't hire him. And so Mosley's out on the street because of Mr. Spratt.
Right.
And so that's...
I'm just shocked that nobody, like, took Mosley's side out afterwards and said, hey, what happened? And you find out from him what was going on.
Well, at that point, it doesn't even matter.
Well, it doesn't matter about that job, but you might try again, much like, you know, I don't think Seville did with Gwen.
I don't think that the issue is him not being capable, because they know he's capable. It's just that didn't work out in that moment because Spratt fucked it up for him.
Right. But so, again, it just seems to me like something that you would.
And who says they didn't?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So that's Mosley. I guess let's talk about Daisy, because during this time, I think the day after this season starts is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And Edith has gotten a card, and Mary's doom and gloom. We'll get to her.
We're going to get to Mary.
But Daisy, everybody in the servants' hall, some people are getting some cute little notes. Ivy got one from who knows. And Anna and Bates sent each other cards.
They're really, so really cute.
And they're so like, cute. Mine's not signed. And he's like, mine isn't either. Well, we I guess I have a secret admirer. And so they kiss, and it's really cute. Yeah. But Daisy also gets a card. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of confused and shocked and excited because she thinks maybe this is Alfred. I don't know. Yeah. And so she's thinking it's Alfred because Jimmy starts like teasing Ivy about getting a card. And Ivy thinks that Jimmy sent her her Valentine's Day card, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. It was Alfred.
Right.
And Jimmy sent one to his former employer, Lady Ann Strether. And so... whatever. It's very weird because he might want to go back and work for her once she gets back from France.
Lady Ann's coming back from France, and he's thinking, ooh, I could get a job.
Yes. Anyway, what's going on there? So Daisy's confused once Mrs. Patmore makes Alfred tell her that he gave one to Ivy. Daisy's really confused, and so Mrs. Patmore's like, no, listen, I sent you that card because I didn't want you to feel left out. And she's like, well, maybe I don't have a follower, but I do have a friend. And that's nice.
And it's just sweet. Yeah. Yes. And she takes it the right way, as opposed to, you know, like, oh, you're pitying me kind of thing, which I think is some growth for Daisy.
Yes.
So that's good.
So then the ones we have left are Edith, Mary, Carson, and Robert and Nanny West.
I feel like Nanny West.
Nanny West is pretty quick. You can take the reins on Nanny.
All right. So Nanny West is the nanny who was hired to take care of George and Little City. And she's really high-handed. She is really, really, really awful. She picks a fight with Thomas for whatever idiotic reason.
Thomas tries to say hi to Sibby on a walk one day, and she's just like, don't touch the children.
You know, like, I don't think, and then she's like trying to get Thomas and she's
to
like
do stuff.
To do stuff for her, like place orders
and
for
she,
her.
And she's all like, but lunch. The children are alone, so I need to go back. And it's like, you shouldn't leave the children alone at all. You can ring the bell and ask for help.
And Thomas is kind of like, he doesn't like her. He doesn't like her attitude. She's very ugly with him. And there's a discussion too about it's hard to be a nanny because you're not part of the family, but you're also not part of the staff. So you, don't really have a place where you fit. But at the same time, it's like,
don't be a bitch.
Well, I mean, but this is how high-handed she is. Isabel comes to see little George.
Oh, yeah.
And she won't
this
let
grieving mother and
grandma,
widow.
Yeah. And grandmother comes to see her grandchild. And she's like, oh, it's not a good time.
Fuck
like,
that.
Like, this is an actual lady that you're turning away. What the hell is wrong with
she's
you?
She's not. Okay. So she doesn't. I think the. Okay. Once we reveal how she really acts as a person, Nanny West does, I think we'll be able to discern why she didn't allow Isabel to see him.
Whatever.
Either way, she shows a bit of a preference to George.
Right.
But it's even more pronounced later. But yeah, so Thomas creepy. Talks to Cora about how he thinks that the children are being neglected. Because to be fair, every single his whole accusation is not completely unfounded. Right. Because whenever he's talking to her, she's just like, the children are alone. I need to go back to them. It's like, well, why did you leave the children alone?
Yeah.
And so he tells Cora that, and she's like, I'll see what's going on.
But there's a time later on in the episode where Cora overhears George is crying. And so she goes to like kind of see how Nanny West is handling George crying. And she overhears Nanny West talking to
George.
And talking about, oh yeah, that nasty half breed.
It's awesome. Don't let that nasty half breed get you down.
The chauffeur's daughter doesn't get to talk to you.
Looks at Simi and she's like, go back to sleep, you filthy crossbreed. And I'm like, oh my God, that is a child.
That is a child. And so,
Cora, not that that's okay to say to an adult.
No, it's not okay to say, period. Cora goes in and she's like, your values don't have a place in any decent household.
Get out now.
And so she rings for Mrs. Hughes comes, and Mrs. Hughes is like, oh gosh, you know, what happened? And Cora's like, she cannot spend another second with these children.
Get a maid to stay with the kids overnight.
And she is leaving tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone. Mm-hmm. And Cora later tells Robert that, oh, Thomas came
and
came to our rescue. It was such a good thing. And so she's got this kind of affinity for Thomas in the moment. And it's like, oh dear, that actually leads to some stupid shit later. So
yes.
Anyway, but that is the Nanny West thing. And Cora did the right thing. Good for her.
Good for Cora. So I guess let's talk about Carson, because I want to get out of the way.
Yes.
Mr. Greg is back and he's sending letters to Carson, and Carson's ignoring them. But Mrs. Hughes reaches into a waste paper basket,
gets the letter out, visits
Greg in the workhouses,
mm-hmm.
and their poor working conditions, and he's sick and all that stuff. And so she tells Isabel, and is just like, hey, can you help me out and help this guy out, please? And Isabel's like, I don't know if I have the strength. And she's like, yes, you do. And this will just prove it to you. And it's right.
Yeah.
And so Isabel helps him out. She has him staying at her house and will get, will figure out a place for him to work in the future.
Right.
And so that's, basically it at that point, but Carson refuses to see him
or talk about him
because he does not want him, like, he doesn't want him involved in his life anymore.
Right.
And who can blame him?
Right. And we get a further explanation of it, but that's not until the next episode. But you know, basically there is an arc of Mrs. Hughes helping Charlie Grigg and trying to get Mr. Carson to at least explain what the issue might be, because clearly there had been some relationship there at some point in time.
Of course.
And that's pretty much it.
At that point. So we have Robert, Edith, and Mary. Let's go with Edith first.
I like the Edith
plot line too.
Yeah.
So Edith goes up to London. She gets a Valentine's Day card from Michael Gregson. It's really cute.
She's going because he's having a party.
Yeah, he's having a party and inviting her. Well, no, for her to meet her literary friends.
Yeah.
And so she goes up. He meets her at the station, even though he's not the one picking her up. But he meets her at the station.
He's thought about her every moment.
Yeah, and he tells her, I figured out that I could maybe divorce my wife if I'm a citizen of a different country, like Germany.
And she's like, what?
And she's like, okay, even after like years of war with Germany. You want to do that? Are you sure? And he's just like, for you, I'd do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's so sweet.
It is very
sweet. And they have, and he's like, well, would you move with me? And she's like, what?
And she's thinking about it. But you know, they go to this party.
It's really cute. And
he's trying to like, you know, put a move on her
and they're about to kiss and then they're interrupted and that's the whole thing. But then later on they meet at this really nice swanky restaurant and she's wearing this beautiful dress.
It's the peacock dress. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous on her. She has that top of the stairs moment that
And she deserves finally, it
for Aiden.
Yes. And so she meets him and she's just, and he's like, I'm going to do this for us. And she's like, I love you. He says, I love you. And she's like, kiss me. And he's like, in front of all these people in public. And she's like, I don't care. Kiss me. Mm-hmm. It's so cute. I love it.
She mentioned something in this interchange too about how even 5 years before, she would never have been allowed to eat out in a public restaurant.
Or
just in general, like her mother wouldn't let her as a family, they couldn't eat in a restaurant other than the hotel where they were staying
or the Ritz if they cheated. Right. But,
it's such a weird cultural thing that people weren't, you know, of a certain class, I guess, weren't supposed to be seen eating in public. Bizarre. I don't know.
So that's basically Edith. Mm-hmm. They have a plan now and they're excited to start a new chapter. It will take some time, of course, but they're excited because they really want to be together.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
It's so sweet. All right. And then, so I guess Mary and Robert are what's left. So let's talk about Robert first.
Because Robert's doing some fucked up bullshit.
It kind of goes hand in hand.
It does.
So Mary is very... She's very much in mourning still. Yeah,
she's not
like crying all the time, but she's just kind of stoic. She's iced out. She's completely out of it.
Yeah.
She's numb.
Yeah.
And she is just miserable. She even like calls, like whenever George is brought to her, like she's just like, you poor little orphan. And then Anna's like, no,
he's not an orphan. He has a mother.
And she's just like, he's not poor either. And, but
she just can't seem to engage, and Robert feels like it is his job to just kind of
keep her in that state. And
you know, Tom Branson and Violet and Carson even
Tom especially pushes it forward, but Carson already thought this,
right? Tom, and it comes from Tom initially. So Tom brings it up to Robert, like, hey, you know, Mary's got an interest in the property. You know, she needs to be getting involved in this. We've got stuff going on. And Robert's
she on her own, even without the inheritance, any potential inheritance from Matthew, has 1/6 of the estate, which is just for her life.
Right.
And so
it's a life estate and the property.
Yes.
And then there is the baby's got the other
inheritance, half, the other like
half.
Yes. The other 2/6. And so she's struggling.
Right. She's struggling, but you know, Tom points out like she needs to
get something else to do.
And you know, she's the baby's guardian. She technically is, you know, a half owner of this estate. She needs to be involved in the decision making.
But
and
Robert, like,
no.
Let's not push her.
She's just a little girl. Not even just push her. Let's not bother her with this. She can't handle it, poor dear little fragile thing.
And also he's saying that he wants to be running it by himself
again.
And he's using the baby as an excuse of, oh, we need to take care of the baby's interests. Like, who are we to take this away from baby George? I'm like, he's a baby. What about Mary, your daughter,
who is struggling? Intentions?
Because what he's also trying to do is he is trying to take away Matthew's vision because they have to pay death duties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big tax thing and they need to pay it off. And Robert wants to sell land to pay them back. But Tom doesn't think so.
Right.
And so Tom's trying to fight his corner and what would have been Matthew's corner. Right. And he wants Mary to get interested in something. And even when he's trying to mention this to Mary, or Mary being like, hey, how was your day, to Tom, and he starts talking about the estate, Robert shuts it down.
And, oh, don't bother her with that.
Poor yeah, little exactly. Deer. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
He treats her like, first of all, oh, girls shouldn't understand this. And it even comes up at dinner. And
next episode.
Is it? But,
okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, either way, it's bad. And
bad.
And so what Tom does is Tom decides, all right, I need to get her out of her shell because no one else will. And so he goes to Carson, which is a really nice scene. Yeah. Tom is like, whether you agree with me or not, Robert is trying to keep her in a shell and she needs to break out of it to be like dysfunctional.
Yeah.
I think that you should give her some advice.
She'll listen to you.
And so Carson's like, okay, I'm going to go do this. So he goes to marry him before dinner. And he is basically like, you need to engage with something. And maybe the estate is the perfect way to do it. And Mary kind of goes off on him about, I think you're overstepping the mark. You have no idea how much Matthew's death has affected me. And yeah, you need to stay in your place.
Yeah.
Because this is absolutely ridiculous. I also don't even know what to do about the estate. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I'm not going to do that. So stay out of it and please just back off.
Right. And Carson says something, I wrote it down. I'm not going to go digging through and find it, but he basically says, you are letting them defeat you,
mm-hmm.
essentially. And you know, you need to be fighting for you and your child more or less. And that kind of makes her pause.
Mm-hmm.
And so some things happen in the
well, okay. So dinner is she's sitting there and things are just kind of happening. And I forget what prompts it, but they're kind of, the family's all going back and forth. Robert is like talking about how, oh no, she shouldn't have anything really to do with these. Oh, I remember. They're having a tenant farmer's luncheon
mm-hmm.
and it's brought up at dinner and Cora can't go because she has a prior engagement. Edith is in London. And so,
and Violet's like,
they kind of do it. Yeah, they kind of want a girl to be there to preside over everything mm-hmm. or to at least be present. And so Violet's like, Mary should do it. And Mary's like, well, I don't know. And well, she doesn't even complete a thought before Robert shuts that down because
no.
But Tom's trying to encourage it because like she should hear more about the estate and this could be a good opportunity for her. But no, Robert's like, no, she shouldn't go. And everyone's kind of talking over each other. And Mary just snaps. And she's like, why is everyone nagging? My husband is dead. Do you guys have any idea what that means? And she's like, just leave me alone.
Right. And so she goes back 50 years before he should have been.
In a stupid car crash.
Yeah.
After everything he's been through in the war. So, and then she goes upstairs to her room and just kind of lets herself cool down a bit. Violet goes up afterwards and she,
it's sweet because, you know, Mary's kind of like, oh, are you here to tell me I behave badly? She's like, no, I'm not your governess. I'm your grandmother. And the difference is that I love you.
Yes.
And I want you
to return to the land of the living.
Yeah. And Mary's kind of, again, she's given a pause by that. Because she had been, you know, sulking, you know, and thinking about things differently. And Violet was, you know, basically said, look, you need to come back into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and then she has this conversation with Robert where she's just like, well, actually Matthew and I talked about some of this kind of stuff with the estate. I have a few ideas. And Robert's like, no, don't worry about it. Just go to bed. You're tired. And I you'll feel better. We want to make sure that you feel better, or like you feel better, like whatever,
right.
Something like that. And I'm like, it's not an illness.
Right.
Grief isn't an illness. You're not just going to wake up the next day and your fever's broken and everything's fine.
Well, and depression isn't like that either.
Absolutely
so,
not.
So you know, it's a conversation that Robert has between with Violet also that I think is very telling because. He's like, it is our duty to wrap her up and keep her safe from the world. And Violet's like, no.
It's our duty to help bring her back into the world.
And she's like, you know, I can forgive her poor judgment, but Robert, I can't forgive yours.
And then Mary has this moment where on the stairs when she's like going upstairs after her talking to her father. And so she goes to the servants' quarters and she talks to Carson. She apologizes for her behavior.
And she says,
well, no, what causes her to start to cry is Carson says, we were all fond of Mr. Matthew down here. And she's like, she's trying to say, I'm sure you were, but she can't even get that out. She just starts bawling.
And it's so, performance.
I cry. I cry almost basically every time I watch that scene, I cry.
It's awful.
And I've been so like, I've been crying a lot during this rewatch anyway. So yeah. It was bound to happen. I cry in the next episode too.
Right.
God knows what's going to happen in the next one. But
there will be crying because we love Matthew.
Matthew. And watching Mary kind of just fall apart after his death is really sad.
Right.
And so but
Carson gives her a giant hug and says, there, let's have a cry.
And then you were going to get back up and you're going to fight.
Because you are strong enough. You are strong enough to do this for you and your child and for Mr. Matthew and just do it.
And so she goes to the luncheon, to the tenant luncheon the next day. Tom gives her his chair.
And she starts talking to the tenant.
She knows her shit.
Tell me about your sheep thing. I said,
she's a natural.
She's natural. And you know, Robert's kind of like, ugh. He's all actually upset. And that was part of Violet's thing is like, you just want to be handling this all yourself. I'm going to call your governess
call for nanny.
And
it makes me want to call for nanny.
Yeah, exactly.
And make you go to bed with no supper.
Yeah.
So that's the end of the episode.
It is. So what were your best parts of this episode?
I have quite a few. Edith and Michael Gregson, I love.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Yes.
Tom, I absolutely adore. I love him trying to help out Mary, but also like keeping Matthew's vision alive because I think that he knows that's what will make her feel better as well.
But it's also what they desperately need.
Yes.
I mean, that, you know, that's
and Mary knows thing, that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so. Violet, I love Violet talking to Mary and all, and her helping out Molesley, all of it. It's great. Mm-hmm. Mary's arc is fantastic. Even when she goes off on Carson, you can see why. And you can see that she's just hurting and she really just needs she needed that talk, but she also needed the talk with Violet for Violet, the more gentle version of that. She needed both versions and she needed the hard truth and she needed the truth, but kind of sugarcoated just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, and I love that the whole scene with her and Carson is so good.
Yeah.
Edith's peacock dress is amazing.
Yeah.
And Cora, I really like Cora.
Cora
stands up for Mary whenever like she's talking to Robert about, hey, well, I think that like Robert brings up when he's going to bed. He's like, we need to figure out who's going to manage George's half of the estate. And she's like, is this a question? It's Mary. And then, and then Robert's like, shouldn't it be me? And then she's like,
oh,
no.
God, no.
It shouldn't be you. It should be Mary, his mother. And he's just like, but no, it's going to be me. And she's pissed off at him. But also the way she handles Nanny West, I think is great because she's standing up for Sibby.
Well, right. She's just standing up for her family. And that is the right answer.
Because Tom is family.
Right. So, yes. Mm-hmm. And so, actually, that's all stuff that I had as best parts as well. I mean, I do love the performances here. I think those are all great. What were your worst parts?
Nanny West, horrible person. Oh my God. First of all, the fact that her like genealogy is none of your concern. Mm-hmm. That like, regardless of that, you're a nanny, take care of the child.
Exactly.
But also to take it out on the child. It's ridiculous to take it out on anybody. It's ridiculous.
She wants to let her have an egg with her tea. It's like, what the hell?
And what the fuck is that? And Charles Gregg, I don't care. Edna, I hate her. I hate that she's going to be back. Mm-hmm. O'Brien leaving in the middle of the night without any kind of warning is ridiculous to me.
I love what Robert says about that, though, because he's like, oh, it's quintessential O'Brien.
So like, leaving like a thief in the night.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Robert is horrible in this episode and the next one. He is so patronizing and he just wants to be the leader of everything. I hate it. Sprat, like why? If Violet wanted Molesley, she would replace you with Molesley,
right?
Like that
she's
is
not shy.
It's exactly like fuck you. Jimmy kind of being weird with the whole Ivy thing. He's still stringing her along and I don't like that, and especially like teasing her about the card and all that stuff is like ridiculous. And what about you?
I just had O'Brien, Charlie Rigg, Molesley, or the Molesley plot line I should say, and Nanny West. So I gave this episode a B. What did you give
it? I gave it a B plus. I think you need to see it because it sets up a lot of stuff that's going to happen. But I mean, there's a lot of crap. Yeah, it's long. It's really long. I think
there's stuff in there that's like, do we need this
man Charles Brick? Yes. At all?
Did we need the man spotlight? No, I don't think so.
Well, it's nice to see Cora stand up for it, but still. All right. Yeah. Episode two. The sections are Grig, the Will, Molesley, Rose, Edith, and Edna. Let's do Edna first.
Because we hate Edna. She is going to be our cursed Ethel person for
however long she's here.
Yeah, a bit longer.
And so Edna is back again. Guess who's back?
She doesn't even know to answer the ring for her ladyship when she's sitting at breakfast. The
bell
rings and Mrs. Hughes is like, that's you. You know?
And she also stains one of her clothing items.
No, she burns a hole in it.
Oh yeah.
Like she left the iron on it or something. Yeah. It's like, what the hell?
But also, like when she is about to go upstairs to attend to Cora, Thomas stops her and is just like, hey, if you need anything, let me know, or something like that. And Anna goes up to her and she's like, well, he didn't really mess with you when you were a housemaid, but just be careful with him. He always wants something in return. Mm-hmm. And is like, okay, and then goes upstairs, and then she ruins her outfit or Cora's outfit,
yeah,
Cora's dress. And Thomas is like, all right, here's the, we'll do this. And so he takes her to go somewhere else and like do stuff and do something to it, but they can't
later find out
that they didn't do anything to the dress. Like the dress is still ruined, and Cora's blames Edna, as she should, because it's Edna's fault. But Thomas comes up to Cora and is just like, oh, it's not Edna's fault, it's Anna's.
Yes.
And she's being mean to Edna.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so she burned a hole in her dress? Yeah, like, how did the fuck does like, that
like
work?
Anna has never done anything even remotely like this before, and you're believing this bullshit?
Like, also, how on Cora? How does that translate? Burning a hole in a dress equal, like, from being mean to somebody to someone burning a hole in a dress?
Yeah.
It's not like Anna burned the hole. I don't think that's what they're saying. I think what they're saying is she was distracted because Anna was being mean.
Whatever.
Like, that's no excuse.
It's
terrible. And so,
eventually, Robert tells Bates, oh, you need to have Anna lay off of Braithwaite. Like, are you kidding me?
That's fucked up.
It pissed me off. I'm like, ugh. But Robert in this episode makes me insane anyway. So, you know, we'll get to Robert in the proper time.
Yeah.
But basically, that's what's up with Edna. And the Bateses realize, like, something is going on between Edna and Thomas. It's not going to turn out well.
All right, let's really quickly talk about Edith. Edith, all I have for Edith really is that she went to London. She hung out with Michael Gregson. They talked about what the plan is. He's going to move to Germany. He's going to get citizenship.
He touched her knee.
That's not what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to divorce Lizzie, his wife. And then they're going to.
Yeah.
And then they're going to. And then him and Edith can get married. But Edith also wants him to come to Downton at a dinner party, which is going to be next episode.
It's a house party. It's a weekend. It's like a whole weekend. It's not going to be just a dinner.
Yeah. And so to get to know his family and for Robert to get to know him in particular. So that's Edith. Then let's do Molesley.
Edith is also late to dinner, so Michael Jackson's been trying to get her to stay longer,
and she's like, it's getting harder to say no. But then she's late to dinner, and so I'm like, oh, you did stay longer, didn't you?
She stayed longer.
And so let's talk really quickly about Molesley. Molesley is in debt, and he's putting tar on the roads.
He's working the roads.
And Anna runs into him in the village patting the roads down with tar and all that stuff. And he mentions that he's in debt with like maybe 15, 20 pounds and all across the village. And as a whole total.
So Anna.
And she's like, well, hey, me and Bates can lend you some money so that you won't be in debt anymore, or give it to you. And he's like, no, I can accept that. And it's like, okay. And then she gets a little upset by that because she wants to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
And so she mentions it to Bates,
And Bates is like, well, we can't have you being upset. And so his plan is, well, also in the background of all this, Gwen from the very first season is getting married and Anna wants to send her a card to, as in congratulations. And she wants everybody to sign it. And so Bates is like, okay, I'm going to get Molesley to sign it. And he also goes to Violet and asks for some money to help out Molesley. And so he's like, don't worry, your ladyship, I know how to get him to accept the money.
So he's going around and getting all these signatures. And Anna thinks it's a little fishy.
She's and like, I don't see you as social. And he's just like, why be social if I have you?
Right. So he collects signatures, including Mosley's signature. And Mosley's like, okay, whatever. I've never seen you as being a friendly guy, but okay. And Bates is like, oh, I'll have to do better. What Bates's plan was, he has become something of a forger.
In prison.
And the Bates the forger thing is
insane. It's so funny. I love it. It's
hilarious. And so he signs a promissory note, both for him, like that he owed money to Molesley.
His story is that he got, Molesley lent him some money when he first got there. And so he's paying it back.
Right. This is how he's going to do it publicly. So Molesley can't say no when they give him money.
And also he's going to forge his signature on the promissory note.
What? That's your signature.
That's your signature. And Mrs. Hughes is like, plain as day. And it's for £30, which will more than cover his debts and also have a little bit left over.
Right.
So that's really sweet.
Right. And Molesley recognizes the kindness. And Anna's like, what made you do that? And he's like, I can't. This is Bates' response to Anna. I have put you through so much. That I couldn't control. If there's something that I can make right that I can control, I'm doing it to make you happy. And it's like,
it's aww, so sweet.
That is so nice.
I love it so much.
He's such a sweetie.
All right, so let's do Grig next. Carson is still not going to see Mr. Grig. But then he does see Mr. Grig, and then we get all this backstory.
Right. So you know, he's getting pushed from Mrs. Hughes. He's getting pushed from Isabel. He doesn't want to see him,
But he's getting a job in Belfast.
So Isabel got Mr. Grig a job in Belfast, mm-hmm. and he's leaving on a train. I was going to say jet plane. No. He's leaving on a train. And in the morning, this is like the end of the episode, actually. And you see Mr. Carson coming through the steam of the train on the platform, and they have a talk about what it was that drove them apart. And basically,
so there was this girl, Alice, and Carson was in love with her. Never really told her or anything, but she chose to love Grig, and they got married, I think, and
were together at a minimum.
Yeah, and but they separated, and she had died 5 years ago. But she, in the end, when he last saw her, she said that Charlie Carson was the better man.
Right. I should have chosen Grig last saw
her. Yes. And she was like, if you ever see him again, tell him that I probably did love him, and I'm sorry I didn't choose you.
Yeah, didn't choose Carson. Mm-hmm. And Carson's like, oh.
Is that true? Nice. Okay, yeah. That's nice.
Now, I would say that throughout this episode, Carson's been talking about what a liar Grig is. So, you know, maybe a fiction that Charlie Grig made up to make peace. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Peace. So there you go. And so.
Yeah, that's it. With Grig. Okay, let's do Rose next, and then we'll do the Will.
Yeah, so Rose decides that she's into music and dancing and whatever, and she wants to go to this Tay Dansant in York, which is basically a dance. And she wants to dance the one step. And she asks Anna, and Anna at first is not going to go, but Anna decides, maybe I should go because I've got to go get perfume for Lady Mary. Lady Mary says, yeah, you just keep her safe.
But also, at the same time, Jimmy is going to York on an errand for Mrs. Padmore. And I also forgot to mention, I think last episode, Jimmy took Ivy to a pub and got her drunk, and Anna took care of her. That's not important. That's why we didn't talk about it, really. Mm-hmm. But Jimmy found out that this once a double act, now the solo act, is going to be in York, and he wants to get tickets to the theater with him and Ivy, which is weird, but okay. It's weird only because he has not shown interest in Ivy
like genuine interest in Ivy until now. Right. And so he is running an errand for Mrs. Patmore to also get the tickets. And he sees Rose and Anna going into the dance. And so he follows and he sees them, and Rose gets to dances with this one guy, Sam. Mm-hmm. And they're all like servants and like farmers and all that stuff. So she's not acting as a lady. She's just Rose Smith acting like a lady's maid.
Right. Or just a maid.
A housemaid.
She wants to be a lady's
maid.
So she this undergardener comes and asks her to dance. Someone else wants to cut in.
The Sam who is dancing with her and the guy who wants to dance with her get in a fist fight.
Police are called.
And so, but Rose, Jimmy, and Anna get out of there.
Right. Basically, Jimmy and Anna have to drag Rose out.
Yes.
But Sam, the undergardener, shows up at Downton sometime later wanting to talk to Rose, and Anna kind of makes it possible, gives Rose a housemaid outfit. She goes and talks to him. She lets him down easy, but gives him a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's cute. And so that's Rose.
She does have one beautiful dress in this.
The pink dress. The one that she wears to that dinner. So pretty. All right. And then let's get to the will. So there is this package that is delivered to Mary, but is
from
Matthew's office. It's just the remaining belongings. But Mrs. Hughes is like, well, talking to Carson about how maybe we should give it to open it, or somebody else should open it just in case there's something in there to make her cry.
Oh, come on.
Are you kidding, Mrs. Hughes?
Yeah, I just, that
everything will make her cry.
Mrs. Hughes to me.
Anything will make her cry in that box.
Right.
It's Matthew. But either way, Robert opens the box and he finds this letter folded up into a book. You also see the little lucky charm that Mary gave Matthew before he went off to war. That was must have been on his desk.
Yeah.
And it's so sweet to think about. And she later puts it on her dressing table. It's adorable. Either way.
But he didn't have it with him when he was driving the car back to Downton. Explained everything.
Sure. Anyway, Robert reads it, and the letter basically says, "Well, it's right before they went to Dunnagle. It was written right before then, and it essentially names Mary as intended as his sole heiress."
Right.
And so Robert takes it to Violet first and has her read it, and he's just like, we don't know if it's legal yet, so I'm not going to show Mary. And Violet's like, no, you are going to show Mary, because this would mean a great deal to her.
Right. You got to show it to her before you send it to Murray. And Robert's like, well, it probably doesn't mean anything. It's probably not legal.
You hope not.
And Violet's like, she sees this for what it is. She's really angry. and should be.
I'm really angry.
I'm angry too. I mean, it's like, come on, Robert, you should be better than this, and you're not.
Yeah.
You're just a petty, childish whatever.
So he finally does show it to Mary, and Mary is overcome when they read it before going into dinner, that's when she cries, because it's really sweet.
It's so cute. The letter is lovely. He's like, oh, well,
I'm off to go to dinner. What a wonderful thought that is. Basically they're going to send it out to Murray to get it verified. And so, but Robert's like, it's not legal. And it's like, fuck you. Are you kidding?
Right, but I mean, the whole thing is, it shows what Matthew's intention
was. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's his intention.
Right. And so because Mary's like, well, maybe I should get more involved. And she starts talking about, I should get more involved. And Robert just starts
at dinner.
Like, oh, well, I'd love to know your thoughts about crop rotation.
And this and that and the other. And then she's just like, it's meant to overwhelm her. And she's just like, I bet you're trying to make some kind of point. And he's just like, my point is you have work to do. I'm like, fuck you. Why are you trying to do this?
Yeah, and why?
This is your daughter.
It's your daughter. Why?
Who also just lost her husband.
Why are you trying to mentor her?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's just being a dick because he's not getting his way.
Yeah, but Violet calls Mary and Tom over and basically tells Tom to mentor her and show her around the estate and tell her the ins and outs.
Yeah.
And so he does, and he starts telling her about the taxes that they have to pay off and the death duties and all that stuff that they have to pay. And what Robert thinks is the right idea is to sell land off. And she's just like, and you don't agree. And he's like, what do you think? Before I even tell you my opinion, what do you think? Which right. I appreciate.
Right.
And right. she and doesn't she... agree. And she tells Robert as much after the letter is verified. And she is now the owner
yeah,
the of heiress. The...
That half of the state.
Yes.
And so because she is, Robert's kind of like...
And, you're going to gang up on me.
Yeah, and Tom points out to her, he's like, no, but she's got the bit between her teeth now. You can't control her.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way it's going to be, which is true. Yeah. And it's a good thing. And so
I would also like to say, sorry, I forgot to mention in the last episode that she's been in black this entire time. But at the very last part of the episode, when she goes to the luncheon, she's wearing lavender, which is half mourning.
Yeah.
Which it's, I think is very a nice touch.
Yeah. No, they do a good job.
And she's in like half mourning still at this point.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the episode.
Yeah.
What were your best parts?
Anna and Bates are so cute in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Edith and Michael Gregson are adorable. Rose, I like Rose's subplot, actually. I think it's a fun little detour. It's better than the fucking Brig subplot, I will say. And I don't know. I think that it's fun. I like the inclusion of other characters like Anna in those subplots so that Anna can have some fun. And Jimmy randomly. It's a fun little trio that they have. It's interesting. I kind of like it. I don't think I did before, but I do kind of now. The Will being legitimate, I love, and Mary, and Tom, I like that they are working together now, and they're on the same page, and they want Matthew's vision to be seen. What about you?
That ghost of Matthew, his actual words,
I love that.
I love Violet in this. I love
Tom Violet, yeah, sorry.
I love Tom Branson in mm-hmm. this episode. I love Mr. Bates by himself. I love that he is going as far out of his way to make Anna happy. It's lovely. And that's really all I wrote down. What were your worst parts?
Edna and Thomas.
That's it?
No. Robert, Mr. Grigg, because I don't care, and Jimmy and Ivy, kind of. Only because I'm confused about what Jimmy wants. And I think Jimmy is too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just... we've gone every which way with this subplot. And I love the way Daisy's putting it. She's like, Alfred is as keen on Ivy as ever, even though she's been going out with Jimmy all this time. I'm like, yeah, it makes no fucking sense. And so that whole subplot, I don't really love, but yeah. What about you?
The Charlie Greg subplot. Edna, oh my God, oh my God. I hate her. Thomas, I hate him in this. And why? Why make this about the Bates? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Just let it go. Robert, because he's a dickhead. But part of the reason I'm pissed about Thomas is like, why would you turn this on the basis when you know that Mr. Bates went to bat for you?
Yeah.
The whole fucking reason you're the underbutler at all.
I think that one of the problems is that Edna had only really interacted with one other person. And so what, or Edna had, like, it's just... stupid. I don't like it.
I hate it. Hate it. So what grade did you give this episode?
I give it a B. I think it's fine. It sets up some stuff. It has some random subplots that didn't necessarily need to be there, but I mean, they didn't really hurt anybody.
I gave it a B minus. It's just kind of okay. Again, it's worse to me than the last episode, and I gave the last episode a B. So
I gave that last episode a B plus. So,
makes sense for us. There we go. Well, we are going to be proceeding in season 4 and kind of interesting to see how this house party is going to play out.
Well, you know how it's going to play out.
Well, stop. It's been a while.
I know how it's going to play out.
I know how it's going to play out in the long term, but there are details I've forgotten. I'm sure I've forgotten them. So I'm looking forward to actually remembering some of them or reviewing some of them. Hey, I'm old. I've got stuff in my brain.
Well, listen, I don't hate the house party episode. There's one part I do hate, but we'll get to that. But the rest of it I like.
There's no Mr. Pamuk in there. So.
I mean, there's a similar kind of event.
Anyway, so we will be going into the rest of season 4. We are looking forward to having you all join us. And
cheers.